الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue reading in the book Umdat al-Ahkam by Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullahu ta'ala, reading from Kitabu As-Salah, the book of As-Salah, the book of As-Salah. We have begun reading from the chapter, the author he has mentioned, Babu al-Adhan, the chapter of the call to prayer, Babu al-Adhan. And we have seen that the author, he has mentioned the first narration, the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that Bilal, he was commanded to make the adhan shafa' in an even number, and to make the iqama witr in an odd number. Umira Bilalun an yashfa'a al-adhan wa yutira al-iqama. And we have seen likewise in some wordings also of this narration, illa al-iqama, except for the part qad qamati salat. Qad qamati salat. And we have seen likewise in our previous class that the adhan that was given by Bilal, that is known, and that Bilal radiyallahu anhu, he made by at the Prophet's command sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, it consisted of 15 sentences, those sentences beginning with takbir and ending with tahleel. Beginning with takbir and ending with tahleel, yani beginning with the statement Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and ending with the statement La ilaha illallah. And likewise the iqama, it is 11 statements, beginning similarly with takbir and ending with La ilaha illallah, but it is 11 statements. And the adhan is repeated, the statements are repeated, and meaning a shafa, and they come two times in an even number in this manner. And as for the iqama, then the statements are mentioned one time. The statements are mentioned one time, except for the takbir, and except for the statement qad qamati salatu, qad qamati salah. So this is the case with the adhan and the iqama. The adhan, it comes shafa', except for in the end, at-tahleel, la ilaha illallah, and the rest of the adhan, it comes each statement, each sentence, it comes repeated twice. It comes repeated twice. And the takbirat, there are repeated four times. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is in the manner of shafa, and an even number. And then likewise the shahada, bi wahdaniyati Allahi Azza wa Jal, two times as well. This is shafa. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And then likewise the shahada bi risala lil Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is shafa' likewise. This all has preceded Alhamdulillah. And then as well the hayya ala. Lis-salah. Hayya ala salah. It comes two times. And hayya ala al-falah. It comes also two times. And we have seen that the ulama, they have a name for those statements. Hayya ala. Al-hayy alatayn. Hayy ala. Hayy alatun. And there's a verb. Hayy ala. Yuhayilu. This is from the benefits likewise that we have seen with regards to this narration. And as for in the end, there is two more takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and then after that, one time, La ilaha illallah, closing with At-Tawheed. This is the adhan that was given by Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, at the command of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the end of his life. And this is was the adhan that was made in al-Madinah until the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 15 statements. And the statements are shafa', except for the final statement of al-tawheed. As for the iqama, then there are 11 statements, 11 sentences. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. 11 sentences in this manner. So, and it comes in witr. And each sentence is mentioned one time, except for the takbir, and except for the statement, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ. So this one is it remains shafa two times, but the rest of it, it is witr. So that means that the iqama is shorter than the adhan. The iqama is shorter than the adhan. So the adhan is 15 sentences, and the iqama, al-iqama, is 11 sentences. Is 11 sentences. So the ulama, they have mentioned some wisdom with regards to this. And that is the fact that the adhan, it is proclaimed, and it is made for the people who are not present in the masjid. And it is proclaimed and it is announced for the people to come to the masjid. So therefore this is made for al-ghaibin. Al-ghaibin, so it is repeated. It is repeated more than one time so that it is more hopeful for it to reach, for the call to reach the people. And there's a need for it to be repeated because it is a call for people who are not present, who are not there at that time. It is a call for the people who are in their homes or who are in their businesses, who are out in the street, who are going about their daily affairs, for them to come to the masjid. The people who are not present in the masjid, the adhan was made for them. So therefore, it is from the wisdom and the legislation to make it in this manner with repetition, so that the people can hear, and they can be aware, and they can be reminded. And this is contrary to the iqama. Al-iqama is for those people who are in the masjid and who have gathered. And the iqama is made for the people who are present, al-hadirin, for those people who are present in the masjid to announce the establishment of the prayer at that moment. That they're going to pray now. So therefore, it is not needed to be repeated. The iqama is not needed to be repeated because it is being mentioned for people who are present and who are there. For people who are present and for people who are there. And likewise, it has been recommended, the ulama have mentioned, that it's recommended for the one who makes the adhan to raise his voice loud. And as for the one who makes the iqama, then he doesn't have to raise his voice so loud in this manner. And likewise, the one who makes the adhan, he will make it slowly, and he will not hasten with regards to that. As for the iqama, then it is made quickly. It is made quickly, or a bit quicker than the adhan. The adhan is made murattala, and the iqama is made musra'a, and it is made quickly, or in a swift manner. And likewise, the ulama have mentioned also benefits from these affairs. The reason why the iqama is witr, we have seen, because it's for the people who are present. But the part, qad qamat as-salah, this part is not witr, whether it is shafa'. It is even, and it is repeated. But also there's a wisdom behind that and a purpose, and that because this portion here is the purpose of the iqama. Qad qamat as-salah to qad qamat as-salah. And if the prayer is being established now, So therefore, this part here, this is the maqsood. This is what is intended from the iqama. So therefore, it is repeated to make sure the issue is clear and that the establishment of the prayer is announced and known even to those who are present and are ready and waiting to pray. So these are some of the benefits that the people of knowledge, they have mentioned with regards to the adhan being longer than the iqama, and the wording of the adhan and the iqama. And this is the adhan and the iqama that is well known. But I just mentioned briefly, and we will not go into detail, but just so that it is known. And it is very beneficial to know issues that the ulama have differed with regards to. Or even sometimes there are issues that are considered different, but the differing is permissible and it's allowed, and then the differing is not from a type of differing that is blameworthy, or a differing which is called ikhtilaf at-tabad, whenever there's differing of two things that are contrary to one another. Rather, there's another type of differing that ulama, they speak about, called ikhtilaf at-tanawwu'. Ikhtilaf at-tanawwu'. And this is, any meanings is different, but this is because there's different variations. So it's very beneficial to understand these affairs, both of them, and in the affairs and the deen, when there has come different variations of particular acts of worships, particularly adhkar, and statements that are made and the likes like this, or even manners and ways to perform the acts of worship. Sometimes in the sunnah, there will come more than one variation of how to perform a particular deed. So if a person, he is only aware of one variation, maybe he will see others doing the other variation and he will find fault with them. And in reality, they're upon the sunnah. So therefore, because of his ignorance, he may find fault with something that is good and upright. And he may find fault with something that is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is with regards to ikhtilaf at-tanawwu'. As for ikhtilaf التضاد, then there is also the other type of differing whenever there's two opposite sides, contrary. One is correct, one is not correct. But even to know the fact that some of the ulama have mentioned these affairs and some of the different scholars of hadith and ulama of fiqh, they have taken these positions, it helps a believer to deal with the people. Because some people, although they are ignorant and they may not be following the best position, they are not upon innovation, rather they're following blindly, blind following an imam from the imams of the sunnah. So therefore, a person, he will have mercy on that individual. But some people, because they do not know the differences of opinions and the different positions of the ulama and the different positions in fiqh of the scholars, then if they see somebody opposing the way that they know, they find automatically that that person is an innovator, or that person is severely misguided. And sometimes that may be the case. And sometimes an individual, no doubt, may be upon innovation, iyadhan billah. But other times, maybe an individual, he's just ignorant and he's blind following a particular scholar, which is blameworthy, but it is allowed in the times of need for someone who is ignorant and he does not know how to find the rulings himself, then he will follow one of the upright ulama. So in this time, a believer will say, well, he's blind following. So there's a proof that's better, or a position that's better, that's clear, and an authentic narration to follow. He's following another narration or another position of the ulama, and that is not correct, but he's not innovating. And there are ulama of hadith, or there are ulama from the fuqaha who have made this position. Although their position may not be the best, and it's not supported by the strongest evidence, at least we know that this individual, from those who pray amongst us, he's not upon innovation. Rather, he is following a position that is weaker, or the likes like this. So therefore, a believer will have mercy on him and try to guide him and show him the evidence in a good manner, instead of treating him as an innovator and dealing with him harshly and causing any more problems in the ranks and the likes like this, but rather dealing with him in the manner that is proper, because he's not an innovator. Rather, he is a person of the sunnah. He's a person who loves to follow. He is a Muslim and he's striving to be upon khair. But this is what has reached him. This is what has reached him from the rulings. So therefore, he's upon ignorance with regards to this, and he should be taught. He should be taught. And the sunnah in teaching the ignorant people is to teach them with gentleness, and to teach them with mercy, and to teach them with kindness, and to hope good for them. As for the innovators that are known to be upon innovation, and the people who blindly turn away from the truth whenever it's presented to them, or stubbornly, turn away from the truth, then no doubt there's a way to deal with them, and the dealing with them is harsh, and we have seen some examples of that. But many of the Muslims today, they have fallen into some positions that are not correct, or some acts of worship that are not the correct manner. But not because they're upon innovation, but because they are ignorant. And ignorance is widespread in the ummah today. So therefore, from the means to cure that is to teach the people, and to spread the knowledge, and to clarify the sunnah in a good way. In a good way that people understand. And that means that the one who is going to do that, he should have a good intention. And he should rectify his intention, and he want good for the Muslims. And hope that they take his advice. And the one who hopes somebody will take their advice, then he will be kind with them and gentle with them. And he will teach them the way he would like to be taught. So there's benefits from knowing these different sunan. And also knowing the different positions of the fuqaha. Particularly with regards to the actions of worship. With regards to the actions of worship, where there's differences of opinions between the ulama and these issues, there are room for that. As for in the affairs of aqidah and iman and tawheed, there's no room for differing. And those who differ with Ahl Sunnah with regards to creed and with regards to belief, then they are the innovators. And they are the people who are upon falsehood. And they are the people who are misguided. And they are people who are warned from and stayed away from and avoided for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, protecting and preserving one's deen. But in the affairs of fiqh and the actions and the likes like this, we'll find many times there are differences of opinions between the ulama. From this affair here, the issue of the adhan. But the ulama have mentioned that the differing of the opinion with regards to the adhan, how it is performed, is a differing that is permissible. And it's from the type of ikhtilaf that's called ikhtilaf tanawwu'. And that is that it also has been narrated by al-Imam Muslim and also Ashab al-Sunan, al-Sunan al-Arba'ah. They have narrated the hadith of Abi Mahdhura, radiyallahu anhu, and he was in Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him the adhan. And he used to make the adhan for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca. And in his adhan, it was some of the narrations mentioned it's a bit different. And instead of making the takbir in the adhan, with four takbirat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in this manner, he would only make two. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Only two times in the adhan. And the ulama, they mentioned that this is permissible. And some also of the narrations of Abi Mahdhura, it came four times. So the ulama, they mentioned that it's permissible. The adhan could be performed like this with regards to the takbirat. In the beginning of the adhan, it can be made four times. And this is the best position, and Allah knows best. And this is the adhan that was made in Medina until the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also it has been established authentically that Abu Mahdhura radiallahu anhu, he made it with two takbir in the beginning instead of four of the adhan. And likewise what has come with regards to the adhan of Abi Mahdhura radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught him at-tarji' from raja'a. At-tarji' it means that whenever the muadhan, he makes the shahada for the oneness of Allah, and the shahada for the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he says ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah, ashhadu anna muhammadar rasulullah, before he makes it out loud, he will say it silently to himself. He will say it silently to himself, and then he will say it out loud in proclamation. And some of the ulama, they mentioned that this is specific to Abi Mahdhura because he was new to Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make the creed firm in his heart, so he would say it first to himself and to remember the ikhlas and the oneness of Allah azza wa jal and the truthfulness of the Prophet, so that he could rectify his heart in this manner and then make it out loud for the people to bring the intention of ikhlas to his mind and to his heart at that time. But other ulama, they mentioned that rather this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah for the muadhin. That before he makes the shahada, he will say it to himself. If that's the case, the number of the adhan increases. If he did four in the beginning, normally, and then he made the tarjih, that makes the number of the adhan 19 sentences. Because he repeated the shahadatain twice each. So that's 4 plus 15. If he made the takbir of the adhan only two times, then he didn't make tarjih, then that would make the adhan two less, 13. Or if he made the tarjih like this, so the number that the ulama have mentioned, it differs with regards to this, how many sentences is in the adhan, and this is from that aspect. But what has come from Imam Ahmed and other than him, rahimahullah ta'ala, is that this is from ikhtilaf tanawwu', that it's allowed for a believer to make the adhan in this manner, with the tarbi', making four takbir, or with tathniyah, making two takbir in the beginning. Or also with tarji', repeating the shahadatain one time silently to oneself, and then out loud making the adhan. Also, this is allowed as well. So if we see somebody who were making the adhan in this manner, then we remember that this person, he is a person who is upon the sunnah in this calling of the adhan in this manner. Likewise, what has come with regards to the iqama, and what we have seen is the iqama is 11 statements. But it has also come that the iqama is similar like the adhan. Is similar like the adhan, except for the part called qamati salat, meaning that he would repeat the takbirat, and he would repeat the shahadatain and the hayya alatain. He would repeat them two times. So if a person, he made the adhan and the iqama in this manner, and the iqama, he made it similar to the way he made the adhan, and then he added qad qamati salat, likewise this has come and has been authenticated. And it is allowed, and this person, he is not innovating. Rather, this is permissible. The ulama have mentioned that this is all permissible. This is all permissible. Many of the ulama, they mentioned that the preferred or the best adhan is that of, and iqama likewise is that of Bilal, the one that we have mentioned previously, and that we have clarified with 15 sentences in the beginning, 15 sentences for the adhan, and 11 sentences for the iqama. But just so that a believer can be upon knowledge, and be aware of the differences of opinions, or also the different types of the sunnah with regards to a particular act of worship, then to be upon clarity with regards to that is very important, so that a person can have insight and be firm on the straight path. Because a person can leave the straight path by going astray and going to extremes, and to believe somebody is upon falsehood and they're not, and to declare somebody upon falsehood is even worse and they're not. And they're not, rather they're applying a sunnah. But this can happen to a person because of ignorance. Likewise, and similar to this issue, the tashahud. There's more than one type of tashahud that has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most famous of them, the tashahud of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, but has been collected by more than one companion, different wordings of how to make a tashahud, and they're all permissible. Likewise, al-istiftahat, and the opening supplication after the takbir and the salat. There's more than one type, and it's allowed for a believer to mention a different one each time. And the likes like this. And likewise, even with regards to the prayer, the way the believer, he holds his finger in the salat. Whenever he's in tashahud, it has come more than one way how to hold the finger. And the likes like this, and all of it is affirmed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's allowed. And it is allowed. So therefore, there is two different types of differing in the positions of fiqh, and that is ikhtilaf at-tadad. And this is the differing whenever things are contrary, two opposites. And in this situation, one of them is correct. As for the other type of ikhtilaf, called ikhtilaf at-tanawwu', whenever there is the differing is in variations, meaning that there's more than one type that this particular action could be performed, and all of them are correct, and all of them are good, and all of them are allowed. Walillahi alhamd. So we see that this is from the adhan of Bilal, radiallahu anhu, 15 sentences in this manner, with 11 for the iqamah. And as for the adhan of Abu Mahdura, then it can come also that he had made it with two takbir in the beginning, so that would make it less than 15, making it 13. And or if the one he made the tarji' also, which has come in the hadith of Abi Mahdura as well, repeating it four more times, so therefore it can be more or it can be less accordingly, and according to the narrations of the hadith that has come that we mentioned previously, and that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abdi Rabbihi, whenever he seen in the dream the adhan, and then he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he affirmed that, and then he told him to tell that to Bilal, and this is the adhan Bilal made. As for the adhan that has come in Sahih Muslim also, and also Sunan Arba'a by Abu Mahdura, then it has been mentioned as I have mentioned, alhamdulillah, and all of this is permissible, and all of this is correct. Now, going back to the definition of the adhan and likewise the iqama, we have seen that the adhan is al-fadhun al-i'lamu bi-dukhuri waqti as-salat. Al-i'lam bi-dukhuri waqti as-salati bi-alfadhin makhsusa. Bi-alfadhin makhsusa. That the adhan, it is a proclamation or declaration, a calling, outwardly to inform of the entrance of the time of the prayer with specific words, bi alfad al makhsusa. This is the portion that we want to discuss before moving to the next narration, and that is that the adhan, it must be performed bi alfad al makhsusa, with specific terms, specific words, and these words have a proper way to pronounce them. And sometimes someone may mispronounce these words and it could invalidate the adhan. Because there are two types of mistakes, or the what's called a lahan, and a mistake in pronouncing words in the Arabic language. And with regards to the adhan, it's similar likewise with the Quran, and that is that there is a lahan that changes the meaning. A lahan, a mistake in pronouncing the words of the adhan that can change the meaning. If that's the case, then the adhan is not even correct. And the adhan, the legislative adhan, al-adhan al-shar'i, is not even established. Somebody could make the adhan, but because of ignorance, make mistakes in pronouncing the adhan, and change the word, and change the meaning entirely, And we discuss this in the class to come, inshallah. But I just make, for example, the word falah. The word falah, it means success. It means to obtain all that one hopes for from the good, and to be in this life and the hereafter, and to be safe from everything that one is afraid from and fears, and to be upon goodness continually and forever. This is true success. And it's falah, falah. Some people, if they're not careful, they will put a shed on the lamb and they'll say falah, falah, falah. This change, this one shed, the change, instead of one lamb, falah. Making it two, falah. Falah is a farmer. It means the farmer. Al-falah, the farmer. So if somebody was to say, hey, ala, al-falah, come to the farmer. And that's the meaning of that word. So changing it like this in this manner, somebody who's not familiar with the Arabic language, or he doesn't have someone to teach him and he didn't learn it properly, and then he just advanced upon this issue without knowledge, maybe he would say that and not even realize it. Come to the farmer. Yani, this is not proper. Hayya ala al-fallah. Al-fallah, la. Al-fallah. These words, yani, to add a vowel sound, or to extend the vowel, or to add a letter, or the shed, and the lights like this in the Arabic language changes the meanings. And sometimes it changes the meaning from a good meaning to a bad meaning. Or likewise, the Arab, sometimes changing the last letter, or the last harakah on a word, can change the meaning entirely. Not always will it change the meaning and corrupt the meaning, but sometimes it may change the meaning entirely from a good meaning to a bad meaning. So therefore, the one who is going to advance upon this issue and making the adhan and has a desire to do that, this is good. And it's encouraged. And there's great reward for those who make the adhan, but one should try to learn it properly. And that way they can pronounce it properly. There are another type of mistake with regards to the adhan that would not change the meaning, but this is disliked. And so this is disliked. The first type or the worst type is to make a mistake in the adhan like this, فَلَّحْ, making a shadda on the lamb. And this is going to change the meaning. أَيَذِن بِاللَّهِ. Or for example, أكبر. Instead of saying Allahu Akbar, like this with one count on the back, they elongate. Allahu Akbar, Akbar, it means drums. Then this meaning is foul. Allah is like this, that's what that means. But somebody may say it, and even some of them, they think they're beautifying their voice. And they say, Allahu Akbar, and they may... But in reality, they're changing the whole meaning and they're invalidating the adhan. Ayyadhan billah. So the adhan, one who will learn it properly and he will make it properly, and inshallah in the class to come, we will discuss some of the common mistakes that are made in the adhan and mention them clearly with the proper proper manner to pronounce it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from our efforts and to grant us beneficial knowledge that will be a light for us and proof for us and not against us. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.